eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see.
How do you want to see him?
See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
You love him?
High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy,
he's worthy, isn't he?
Holy, holy, holy. I want to see.
Amen. If you want to see him, look right into his word, don't you? And good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Remember all the announcements now. Remember this coming weekend, be Saturday night, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, be Sunday morning services. No evening service. We'll be eating together. And you don't have to fix anything for the meal or anything like that. Now, if some of you sisters want to on Saturday night make a cake or some sweet, that'd be fine for everybody to eat a little bit on Saturday night, because we generally gather most of the time a little early, and then we go on into the service. And also remember that. Now remember then, the Bible study scheduled for the first will be the second Saturday. All right, everybody understand? Yeah. Well, that may work out. We'll just go ahead and we'll have it, and you can go and represent us in that, because it's a long ways over there. Yeah, thank you. Okay, we'll be doing that way. Okay, so just remember these announcements. But we'll be eating together next Sunday in fellowship of our 40 years as being here in the church. And, you know, we've only got a few pictures and things, but if Joe and them could put them on some kind of a little something, or maybe a few of them, we'll blow them up and put them downstairs where we could kind of see it. It would work good, you know, some of the older pictures of the building and things. And, you know, maybe we can get that done. We'll see if Joe and them can work on it a little bit, okay? All right. Let's see, all the announcements. Okay, Ephesians 1. All right, we're going to Ephesians 1, 2 Peter 3. In Revelations 21, okay, that'll be Ephesians 1, 2 Peter 3, and Revelations 21. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace unto us. Thank you for the day, the time, and the hour that we have upon the earth, Lord. And just, we ask you to just bless us with your presence this afternoon as we attempt to speak about you. And Lord, you come on the scene and direct our thoughts, because that's what we're desiring of you. And just have your way. Lead us in thine understanding. Lord, forgive us of our sins most of all, because we want to stand complete in you. We ask you to just guide us now and just let your light shine upon the word this afternoon, that we may see you through the revealed word, because that's the place that we find you the most. We love you and we thank you. Bless the sick among us. Bless those that are not here because of sickness. We pray that you just touch each heart and life. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Ephesians 1. Everybody ought to know that scripture. It makes 17 times I think we'll be reading it, but that's all right. We haven't exhausted it yet. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. All right. Let's go to 2 Peter 3, and these are the scriptures that Brother Branham, if you remember, on the message of the future home was using. All right. 2 Peter, the third chapter. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were before, were from the foundation of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, now listen, here's where the scriptures, the prophet was picking up now. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. All right, let's go over to Revelation now. 21. Verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I got a lot of quotes, and I almost printed the entire book of the Future Home for you, but you know, I just pray that you will go read the book and be able to get a whole lot more than what I could dare to try to say or impart unto you. But now, I hope you understood what I was trying to bring this morning of the message of showing that, you know, that first when I went a divine healing campaign, all right, and then a message followed that healing campaign, and the prophet would not let somebody else preach it for him. He preached his own message because they wouldn't be bringing it the way that he wanted it brought. So he brought his own message because it was the restoration of the word or the faith, revelation faith of the fathers that had to be brought back to the church. All right. And in that, then, there would be a healing campaign go out to catch the attention of the people, and they could receive the word then, you know, that would be spoken unto them, and it would bring them to a reality of how that God is living among us, because that's the purpose of the healing campaign, was to show that. And anybody just picking up on these, please go back and get the other messages, because I can't try to cover everything in one. All right. And we know that the prophet, as we said this morning, he continually said, you know, no divine healing, no resurrection. No divine healing, no redemption of the body. All right. But there was a divine healing campaign went out, see, with a great signs and wonders to get the attention of the people. And then they would turn away from, you know, the things. And it was exactly like in the ministry of the Lord Jesus when he first began, that everybody wanted the, you know, the young prophet to come and speak unto them. But when he began to say, I and my Father are one, see, then they began to pull away from him. All right. And as they did, then, see, it showed what they were. All right. So in the last days, God didn't just send a message out, because as I said and emphasized over and over, look how hard it would be for Brother Branham to actually have to preach to people about the, you know, the healing of the body, and trying to get them to see it, and then to try to express to them that they wasn't going to get a new body because everybody believed they were, you know. All right. And like I said, then not even in their carnality looked like they would have looked up the word resurrection, because everybody said, oh, we believe in the resurrection. Yes, we believe in the resurrection to come. But resurrection does not mean replacement. See, what our thoughts of resurrection was to just raise up. You know, raise up. Well, you know, why, if God's going to give a new body, all right? Now, are you listening? If God is going to give you a new body, why would he be dealing with resurrection? Is he going to raise up a new body? Well, why don't he just speak it? See, you wouldn't have to use the word resurrection, see? And that way, see, we in our own super religious way of thinking and listening to mankind, we wound up by denying what the Word of God was actually saying, and even the words that we were saying ourselves. And I said we talk about resurrection, and I brought that out from John there, of where Mary, see, or Martha, excuse me, she, oh yes, Lazarus will raise in the last days, see? Job, in the last days out there, see? Because mankind wanted to believe in the resurrection. Well, but see, Jesus then said, I am the resurrection. See? All right, now we haven't got to that one yet. We haven't got to that point of what he's saying, but I wanted you to understand and read that scripture in John, because he said, he that, not only I am the resurrection, he went on and said, he that believeth in me shall not die. All right? He was speaking all the way to a total redemption right there in the scriptures, see, that man shall not die. All right? See, then, you know, going on to that, somebody's going to be alive and be changed, as Paul calls it, in a moment, a twinkle of an eye, and see, the Lord Jesus spoke of it, all right? And then bringing it out, we were talking about how that he had a great ministry in his early years, and then, you know, seemingly when the opening of the seals of Matthew 24 to the Lord Jesus, then where's he headed? To Calvary. Not a lot said, not a lot done. He was heading to Calvary. But the greatest of all things, through the opening of those seals in Matthew 24, that he preached them, you know, then you see Brother Branham, and he starts off in a healing campaign and a ministry following the faith of the fathers. But then he comes to a place that it seems to be just going downward. Right? And see, then when he does, then he comes forth to bring his message. Because his message was not a restoration of the faith of the fathers that had to be brought. But he was to bring us the complete plan of redemption. All right. Now, the complete plan of redemption, see, would have to deal with not only the soul of mankind, but it would have to deal with the body. All right. So then we could, you know, maybe some people begin to listen to Brother Branham as he began to talk about, you know, the redemption of the body. But still they wasn't picking up on it. And one day he preached a message called The Future Home of the Heavenly Bridegroom and the Earthly Bride. All right. And as he preached that, we just termed it Future Home. But really it's Heavenly Bridegroom and the Earthly Bride, I think is the way it's stated. All right. Now, when he began to bring that, see, he went into talking about the redemption of this world. Well, that really would be a shock to mankind, you know. Religious people couldn't follow that tone because, oh, as we just read here in Peter and we just read in Revelation that this world and all that we see is going to be just, it's going to be, we read it, it's going to be annihilated. Everything is going to be annihilated. Well, where are we going? Where are we going to live? What are we going to do if you're going to annihilate this world? Do you realize that if you annihilate this world, you would interrupt the whole solar system. And what would happen to the entire solar system? See? And all like that. But we didn't think of those things. All right? But then he was bringing it out so we could understand the complete plan of redemption. All right? See, that was his message then, was to bring us the complete plan of redemption. And we read about 6 or 8 quotes there where the prophet was saying, like the rapture and the different ones where he was saying, that not in the years of preparation, not in the healing campaign. His message started through the opening of the seals. That was for him to bring. The other had already been brought. The faith of the fathers had already been brought by the apostles. He didn't have to come and bring us the Bible. See? But he had to come and pick up where the apostles left off. See? That would have to be continued on. And the apostles never spoke of the Son of Man. See, now they wrote Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, yes, because that's the writing of the Lord Jesus and what he said. But where did Paul even mention the Son of Man? It wasn't there. He didn't even talk about it. None of those understood. Here comes a prophet then, during his time of restoring the faith, he starts talking about Son of Man. Resurrection sign. See? And God was there performing the resurrection sign in the prophet's ministry. Not the prophet now. The man was a man just like you and I. But God began to use him to bring those things and to show what you and I would have to have in the last days. All right? We've been over that. But see, then coming to that position, then he would bring his message. Brother Ryan's message was a message of eternal life. I even ask you to do one thing. We have some books downstairs, if you don't have one. I know I've got a couple anyway, of the titles of all the sermons. Most of you probably have that. You know, the little book, it'll show you the titles of all the sermons. I would ask you to go after the seals opened in 63 to the prophet and just read the titles. Just read the titles of the sermons. See? In the old days, it was what? Demonology. Some kind of a something dealing in life. But after the seals broke, look what it was. Future home. Christ the mystery of God revealed. Things that are to be. Who is this Melchizedek? Mighty God unveiled. Read them. Just read the titles of the sermons. And you'll see that it's bringing forth eternal life. See? Because that was his message, was to bring us the message of eternal life. And that's what caught me when I heard the prophet talking. It caught me to see that, hey, you know, we was like this. We was, oh yes, bless God, one of these days, we're going up to heaven. We don't know what we're going to do. We may sit on the clouds, and I'll be tickled to play harp. You know, oh, we could really make great emphasis, you know, and we could really make people just feel good, you know. I'll be glad to do whatever God wants me to do. Well, here comes a prophet talking about us living here. And bringing out the Bible about us living here. It's hard to understand. See? If you think it was hard for him to preach in his early ministry, as I said this morning, to try to show people what a resurrection is and divine healing, what a proof of it, how much more would it be to coming after the opening of the seals? Because if you followed me in what the reading we read this morning, those quotes were all after the seals broke. And all of them just about it even mentions the seals in it. Of not in the years of preparation, but when the seals begin to break. See, that was the thing that was to be preached in this day. Was the opening of the seals, which would open up the entire word. All right. See, then I told you about that the prophet would say, first pull, divine healing. Second pull, prophecy. All right. And see, then that would be, there's a difference between the word prophecy and prophesy. And if I spell it wrong, you put it in the right place. Okay. But see, one of them means what you're saying. The other one means the push from behind you, or the you and what you're doing. See, a prophet would come forth and bring in it and say, thus saith the Lord, so and so is going to take place. See, that was him prophesying, or, the S-Y deal on there. But whereas the other would be what he sent forth from his lips, the prophecy. A prophet would say, so-and-so and so-and-so is going to happen. That's a prophecy that will take place maybe thousands of years later. But his voice was speaking of what God had given him to say. All right. So then I figured, a lot of people, they won't look them up anyway, but, you do it. Oh, beside the way, some of you need to get your tapes out of the rack. We've cut down on the amount of spaces for you. And please get your tapes out of the racks downstairs. You go around in the back here where the new place is at, where Richard is at, and right there on the wall is your tapes, of the services and Brother Richard and them and all that's on the wall, and they're getting a good many in there because I'm the one that puts in Brother Richard. So evidently some of you not listening. It's hard to listen with the tapes sticking in that rack down there. I found that out. Okay, forgive me for being that way. But now listen, let's just read. You got it. I gave it to you. It's on the one that's got no back on it. All right. Let's just read. See, in the Bible, you use prophecy. And that prophecy, P-R-O-P-H-E-C-Y, is dealing with prophesying. It's number 4394. Prophecy. In other words, a discourse, emitting, I guess is the way you say it, emanating, okay, from divine inspiration and declaring the purposes of God. See, that's what this P-R-O-P-H-E-C-Y means. In other words, the prophet saying it, but when it goes out, you've got to wait for some time for it to take place at a later date. See, whether by reproving or admonishing the wicked, or comforting the afflicted, or revealing things hidden, especially by foretelling future events. See? All right. Using the New Testament of the utterance of the Old Testament prophets, of the prediction of events relating to Christ's kingdom, and its speedily triumph. See, that's why you said that the word prophecy is a setting in order of Scripture. P-R-O-P-H-E-C-Y is a setting in order of the Scriptures. Because those prophets would bring it. The New Testament picks up what they're saying and brings into order. The Old Testament Scriptures, Paul took the Old Testament and brought into order and laid those things in order to show you who Melchizedek was and things like that. Right. But whereas the P-R-O-P-H-E-S-Y dropped down, it's 4394. See? Prophecy, P-R-O-P-H-E-S-Y, to prophecy, in other words, to be a prophet. Speak forth by divine inspiration to predict, with the idea of foretelling future events pertaining especially to the kingdom. Looks like almost the same wording. But see, one of them is the prophet speaking it. The other one is what he says. See? Going out and telling you of future things. All right? See? Then I told you, Brother Brown said the first pull was prophecy. Second pull was the, and I called it setting in order the word. So look at it and look on your notes right above there, which is paragraph or page 41. Souls in prison now, 63:10, 11:10, the morning service. The first three is perfection. That's when the ministry went forth. The second pull was the discernment of spirits of prophecy. First was the healing of the sick. The second was the prophecy that went forth, that knowed the secret of the thoughts. Listen, when the word itself was made manifest, which that's grace. Right. Now that's Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12 is the way Brother Branham knew what this disease is worth. What I said this morning, he could take you by the hand and show up the bubbles, the thing. But something happened when he'd say it's in your left lung. See? That was going on into the interior. All right, watch, he goes on down. Page 46. If the first and second pull is without question. Is there a question in your mind about the first and second pull? Did it come to pass just as he said? Then why question the third? See? Why would you question? The first two was identified by the Scripture. I've proved to you this morning that the third's identified by the Scripture too. Look upon the world and see where she's at. Look how they have rejected the truth and how it's been properly identified, the prophecy part. See, they've rejected the prophecy, the truth. See? All right, going down now to anointed ones at the end time, 65:7-25. Notice the very day when this messenger, not when he starts on the, but when he begins to declare his message. See, the first pull, healing. Second pull, prophesying. Third pull, the opening of the word. The mysteries revealed. All right. So now that ought to be enough to bring it to you. There's one more that I didn't bring, but it's page 41 of Souls in Prison. And he says that anybody believed him seemed like, is that right? When he went forth healing the sick, everybody wanted him in their church. But one day he turned around and started prophesying. Watch. For he was the Word. He was the prophet that Moses spoke of. Now that sounds like he just started turning around and prophesying. You know? Now watch what the prophet said he done. And when he went to telling them and how that they were living and the things they were doing, he became very unpopular. That was his second pull. All right? So just follow the point of what I'm saying. There's an argument, so you can people say, well, what is the first pull? What is the second pull? What is that? Well, that, he said it was the opening of the word, so that's up to you, whatever you want to argue, the points. I'm not going to argue with you about it. I just try to preach the gospel. All right? But get what I'm saying. The prophet's message began through the opening of the word of the seals that had not been brought. His early ministry was a restoration of back what? The original doctrine of the faith of the fathers. See? Because that was not there in people. We had gotten totally away from the original faith. All right? But he did, and when it did, now watch, the third pull, being the opening of the word, compare the days of the prophet, as I said this morning, compare his early ministry to his last days of his ministry. Now, like here's Brother Gary Krantz, Brother Hal sitting back there, that's the two, and Joyce, and we're sitting there, Charlotte, and we're sitting there when the prophets, when Brother Brown was bringing his ministry. But in the early days, it was just healing after healing after healing after healing. But then it got down to slower in the last days, didn't it? A lot less of it, but what? More powerful. He was begin to speak the word and just say, I prayed for 1,000 people. Said, I believe they're healed. But he said, take that baby to the doctor, little girl. He said, I guarantee you healing. See, he was coming into the third pull. All right? Now, coming into that third pull of the opening of the word, you don't see great things. Only like 5-7 times of the third pull that he mentions. Now, I said mention because it happened plenty of times that he didn't tell us about. All right? But see, then in that, they would have to be, if that's true, though, that those things, if there was a third pull of the speaking of the word. Right. And healings and deliverances like the storm, the Sister Hattie Wright, the, help me with it, Sister Meadie with the growth and you know, all kind of things, storm, and about five times or six times they spoke. Well, then it'd have to be a message. Remember we read this morning, if there's a message, there's healing. If there's healing, there's a message. You say, well, what about them out there? They're only gleaning off of what that we have. Brother Branham said where they would say on that Voice of Healing magazine, you know, fast and pray for God to send a prophet. He said they felt the pull. They were only feasting off of the pull. It was not for them. See? It was if they could accept it and believe it. But see? It was for you and I. See? All right. Now, so the early ministry dealt with the resurrection. See? All right? Lord Jesus, early ministry, dealt with the resurrection. But then one day he began to say, I and my Father is one. And then he walked on to prove that his Father and him was one, because he preached what mankind knew nothing of. See? They may have been looking for a general resurrection. But he said one day, I am the resurrection. Amen. See? And he went on to prove that he was the resurrection, because he raised Lazarus. See? The different ones he raised from the dead. Well, here's the prophet's ministry repeating in the end time, that about seven times people raised from the dead. Right? See? Proving that the ministry of Jesus Christ was back here again, standing in a man upon the earth. All right. But for us to just keep looking at that, I'm not doing that. That's what all the preachers do, see? Oh, it was great in Brother Branham. It was great back there. I believe that same God is here now.
Amen. That's right.
I don't back up no statements whatsoever with that. I'm saying God's here.
Amen.
I've seen Him here. I've seen Him deliver and heal and raise the dead.
That's right.
So I don't back up. The man's got the goods, he ain't scared to put it out. I'm not afraid to talk about the resurrection. I'm not afraid to talk about these things. The only thing I ain't seen now is blinded eyes open. That's the only thing I ain't seen, because I seen the dead raised. I used to have to say I didn't see the dead raised, but then that come to pass, so the Lord will send the other too. But listen, see, when the Lord Jesus began to say, though, I and my Father are one, the healing maybe... dropped off the great things, because nobody wasn't coming to hear him. They didn't want to come in to hear him. They thought, well, we're afraid to go hear him, because all these Pharisees and Sadducees are trying their best to kill this guy. So let's get away from him, you know. And that's the way it was in the last days. The prophet used to preach to, you know, thousands of people in one meeting, gets down to 25 or 30 in a trailer out there in, what is it, Arizona, you know, and stuff like that. Looked like his ministry went totally down. But it's greater and greater and greater. But what it done, it got rid of the garbage. Now, I don't mean that wrong, because all of us started out garbage. See? That's all we are until God gets a hold of us. Thank God for being able to believe the Word. Like Sister Gail talking to her this morning about the seeing this young girl, you know. She said, I might not have been that bad, but said, ain't no difference.
Right.
Well, that's true. You see this nakedness going on out there, and you say, well, I'd never done that. Well, that may be true. But what's the difference when you pull it on up a little?
Right. Yep.
You know, they don't see that on thing. I jerk my pants legs up, you know. And them dresses starts, and I notice some around here, yours gets getting, it just climb higher and higher and higher and higher and higher, and just, you know, and then the top goes lower and lower and lower. Well, you're responsible to God. Because you know better. And God's vindicated, so you know better. So go ahead. I can't make you do nothing right anyway. But see, Jesus went on, as I said, when he said, I am the resurrection. See? I am what all has been spoken of. I'm the one that will raise you. See? And that's what I had in the scripture I used the other night. But where if the spirit that was in him be in you, it'll also what? Quicken what? Your mortal bodies.
Amen.
See? Make alive these mortal bodies. So Jesus goes on there in John 11, see, 21 through 26. To not only say I am the resurrection, but he said he that believeth in me shall not die.
Amen.
Spoke right on down to a change of the body that somebody's going to stand right here and not have to die. Then why can't we believe we're them? I believed it for 40 years, 40-something years now. Why can't I believe it any further? And that old Baptist preacher said, when I left, he said, Sam, you'll be back in 6 months. That's been the longest 6 months I've ever seen, because it's been about 40-something years now. And see, I'm still looking at the same resurrection. But I'm beginning to see the message as real in reality. All right, now let's get on to it. See? All right. Most people had their concept, as I said this morning, of the resurrection, but yet in that concept was like Martha, that it would be out there somewhere, you know, in the latter days. See? And Jesus was trying to pull it down to the point of saying, look, you said. Now, isn't this not in the scripture? Didn't Martha say, if you'd have been here? She had enough confidence in the man. She said, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Just like Mary had enough confidence. When it come down to the wine at the wedding, you know, and she said, whatever he says, do, you do it. A lot of confidence had gotten into the why, because they had seen so much of God living among them. Well, so is it in the last days. See, why can't we believe it that way? But see, when it comes down to do it, we must receive not just the plan of redemption for the soul. That has been the days gone by. And that's why God winked at the ignorance of man to believe that he would get a new body. Because he knew there was no way to explain it to mankind. So he has to go forth with a healing campaign to start the ability to be able to express it. And then sends a prophet to bring the word to. But then his ministry, as we covered this morning, would start with the opening of the word, the opening of the seals. And then he had about 3 years ministry there, which was the same way of the Lord Jesus. See? You go back and compare it, but even in the Lord Jesus, he only had, you know, the last 6 months was the main part, because that was where he went from transfiguration to Calvary. All right? And see, then we're dealing with the hear ye him of that point to understand the redemption of the body. Who was speaking of the redemption of the body? Even today, after the prophet has brought it, where is it out there that they're speaking of the redemption? Oh yeah, they may be talking about it. Oh yeah. Because if you hear something, you can talk about it. See? But then you go to them and start asking them about it. Like I always said, you know, somebody come up to you and they'll start saying, oh yeah, boy, it's getting bad, ain't it? The end of the world, ain't it? Well, you say, okay, they're fine, they're happy, and they'll go on, well, we talk about the end of the world. But all you got to do is just say, yeah, that's right. I said, man, it is bad. I don't believe we can be around here very long, the way things are going. Now, nobody knows the day nor the hour. See, they don't believe what they're talking about. They're just saying what somebody else said. Well, nobody knows the day nor the hour. Now, be careful now. What did we read there in the scripture? Since our fathers went to sleep, we heard this. You remember the scripture we just got through reading? Peter, we've heard these things. And since our fathers have gone to sleep, we've heard these all of our life, that this is going to take place. You know what Brother Brown said one day about it? He said that was the greatest sign it was fixing to take place. Come to pass. That they began to talk about it was going to come, had not come to pass. He said that's the greatest sign that it was fixing to come to pass. So you look at it today. Oh, no, no, no. It may be 50 years from now. I'm 71, see. Well, all right. How long do you think it'd be? Well, about 25 years. That'd make me somewhere about 96. You know, at 96, I probably wouldn't give a hoot when the world come to you. Right? I probably wouldn't even know it. Even if I was alive. That's what Brother Carroll the other day said. And I thought, you know, first, and he might not like me saying this, but he's the one that said it. He said, somebody said, Brother Carroll said, you know, Now, I think it's close to the coming of the Lord, don't you? He said, well, at my age, 83, I think he is, or 86, something, he's right in there. He said, at my age, it don't make much difference. I'm fixing to step over one way or the other. Well, death is not too bad after all, is it? Yeah. If it's going to be around here 20 more years, somebody better get ready, because I'm going to step on. You know, or either I'll be down in a nursing home laying there looking at him. But anyhow, listen, folks. You know yourself that what I'm trying to say is one thing. Outside of this prophet's message, where was anybody ever speaking of the full redemption of the soul to really have an understanding? Growth, development, adoption, etc. Now everybody's just happy we're saved, we're going to heaven, everything's, oh, you know. Like my brother said, so long as I get there, Sam, I don't care. Well, I hope he got there. I do. But, see? But we just, what are we doing? Now, what are we doing? The prophet has brought the message. See, I keep clicking back to that because that was one of them, no, 1, 2, 3 points you're supposed to write down. See, I'm not talking about the change of the body. I'm trying to preach it. Right? It's been revealed. Well, when are we going to preach it? Okay, drop off that. If that ain't enough for you to hold on to what you're talking about and not try to figure it out, just let it go. See? I'm not looking for something, I'm looking at it. Okay? Because that's the way we got to be. All right. Now, the prophet would say then that we would get the complete plan of redemption that was finished at Calvary. But see, we looked at Calvary as only for the soul. But Calvary, see, there was a body hanging on Calvary. We'll get back to it in a minute. That they beat it and his blood dropped on the earth to cleanse and claim this earth. See? More was taking place at Calvary than just, well, oh, look at him. He died in my place. That's all people want to preach. He died in my place. Wonderful. But that's like Brother Brown said about Billy Graham. He said nobody preached salvation like he did to get people to repent. But he said, now what's going to happen? He said they float back in and just go back into them denominations and, you know, and float around and don't do no good. Now, come on now. See? All right. But you see, we've got to talk about the redemption of the body.
Right, right.
All right? And to do that, the prophet in the future home, if you listened, he done to me kind of like John, you remember on Patmos, one of them we read. John on Patmos, he looks up and he sees the city coming down and he describes the bride. You remember that? And then another time he sees the bride and describes the city. Right? You couldn't tell the difference in it. So there wouldn't be any difference in the redemption of the body. See? And the redemption of the world, because our bodies come out of this earth. All right? Now, if I can hold a point, I'll get back to it in a minute. Wait, now we're talking about the other night, and I may repeat this again later. You know that Jesus had to go to the spirits that were in prison. Now, why does it mention that he only went and talked to those who were disobedient in the long-suffering in the days of Noah? It doesn't say that he went and preached to the spirits in prison of all mankind that had been put in prison. Come on. Why did he say in the days of Noah? See? Now, we'll get to it in a minute. We'll quote it. You know it yourself. Your body was laying in this earth. Right? It come out of this earth. All right. But do you realize that the bodies of those people who lived from Adam to Noah, those bodies were not justified. Got quiet, ain't she? You see, I'm trying to say something to you, folks. Come on, you tell me. He said, to those that were disobedient in the long-suffering of the days of Noah. But Brother Branham said, your body was justified in the flood. Amen. See, we're not talking about one of these days. The last two quotes this morning, I withheld them because I've been using them before, where Brother Brown said, it's your body's growing on. It's in the process now. You see, we've stepped ahead of the world in a lot of respect. But we'll get down to it in a minute. If you've read Future Home, you've heard the prophet say that your body was justified when the world was washed in the days of Noah. So it doesn't say that he went and preached to those as a witness that had died from where he was back to Noah. It doesn't say that. He said, well, that's just assumable. Oh, okay. I'm just making a point, too. See, he had to go talk to them people because they had no connection to a bodily redemption. Because it started in the days of Noah. I hope you read the Future Home over again and notice the things the prophet had to say. Not just read the book to where you can raise your hand. I read it, Brother Dale. Do like Brother Dick says he does, kind of analyze it, you know. I hope he's still doing that. The older he gets, he probably don't analyze as much, but I hope he's still doing that. See, we've got some things to get to when we get there. And that's why you got those things to take place. But let's get back. Just back up with me now. Just a little to get a straightforward moving point. See? As I said, nobody preached the redemption of the body. And there was nobody preached the redemption of the world. It was an annihilation. That even the scriptures seemingly speaks of that. Because in Revelation you see a new heaven and a new earth. New heavens, plural, and earth, singular. Right? Now, in Peter it seemingly is speaking of a total wiping off of the blasting away of nuclears and what else, the burning over, you know. And even in Isaiah 65, he said, I create a new heaven and a new earth. See, so we took all of that, even the scholars, etc., and they took those things and taught us that we don't know where we're going. We don't know what's going to take place, but one of these days, whammo, something's going to bang this thing, and we're going to go somewhere. Don't worry about it now. We're going somewhere, but we don't know where. And we may all be playing harps, so you need to learn how to play one while you're here, you know. You may need it when you get there. Well, you musicians will have it on me because I can't do nothing. You know, I tell you, I get static on the radio, you know. But now listen. When the prophet's message came forth, he saw the complete plan of redemption. For body, spirit, soul, man, see, and the world. Because now if we're not going to get a new body, are you listening? If we're not going to get a new body, and our body come out of this earth through the process of mom and daddy eating, you know, etc., and genetics came and all of these things comes into view and you come forth and your body comes out of this earth. All right? It don't splunk down out of the sky. Now, Jesus was created, but we don't have that problem, that ability. So then, if you're going to not have a new body, now look what you got to do. You got to deal with the world. See why you think that I drag, and I do too. I think, oh God, I'm just dragging my feet. And I get into something, and then when I do, there comes a spot I need to explain that. Yeah. See?
Right.
But if we're going to deal with the redemption of the body, we're going to have to deal with the redemption of the world. Because
right.
Our bodies come out of the earth. See? So it's not just something that I want to do, it's what I've got to do. We've got to deal with it. And God has dealt with it in His Word. And put it in there for us to understand. But yet we didn't understand it, so He had to send us a prophet. To be able to tie together. And like I said this morning, there's those great theologians sitting there with all them degrees and things. And Brother Brown say, no resurrection, no divine healing. Well, we don't believe that like he believes it. He's just an illiterate old Kentuckian. But when he stood out there and said, if I'm not right, you come up here and straighten me out. But they didn't get up. Why didn't some of those big hoopty-doopty guys, you know, get up and walk up there? I want to show you. A lot of them had done heard the story about Dr. Bess. Right? When Dr. Bess was going to challenge the divine healer. And Brother Branham wouldn't even talk to him. Brother Bosworth said, please let me go. He said, because if you don't, said they're going to, the people, you know, they need something, let me go. He said, if you won't argue with him, you can go. And Brother Branham wouldn't let Brother Bosworth even argue with him. Brother Bosworth just asked him one simple question. Brother Branham sitting there, he said, I never thought of that myself. Brother Bosworth said, I want to ask you one simple question. He said, the seven compound names of Jehovah, do they apply to Jesus Christ? Yes or no, Brother Bess? Brother Brown said he knew better to answer. Because if he said he was the Savior, then he would have to say that he was the healer. So Brother Dr. Bess, you know, Brother Bess there, he had him tied up. Brother Brown said he'd done a great Camelot sermon of salvation and all of these other things. But it didn't do no good. God come down and had his picture made. That's where it's that one that's up in Washington, D.C., you know. The only supernatural picture that's ever been made, see, that they've proven that it's right. And when he did, see, and I've checked on that, and they say it's in the Smithsonian, but it's down in the basement. It, you know, naturally they ain't going to let it out very far, but it was there. All right? But now listen. The Lord Jesus surely understood the complete plan of redemption. Will you go with that? All right. The Lord Jesus being the Word, then the Word would go with that. You agree? The Word would have to show us the complete plan of redemption, which would include the redemption of the world. See? But yet as we read it, see, what do we get? We read the Bible and got a Trinity. Right? We read the Bible and got hell as being eternal. We read the Bible and decided we can just about do anything. We're all going to heaven because long as I believe. Right? See? But was that what the Bible said? So the Bible didn't change, and Brother Branham didn't have to get a new Bible. Had he started talking about a new Bible that we needed, I'd have started going back to the Baptist church. So would I today. If I found a prophet talking about that we got to get a new Bible and got to get a new this and that, I'd just turn around and go back somewhere. And I'd just as soon kiss the Pope's toe if I was going to leave the Word from where I am now. I'd just as soon kiss his ring and bow down to him as to do to anybody else. You say, oh, you're silly. No, I'm not silly. I mean every word I say. My whole life is staked upon whether or not this message is right. Because if it ain't right, we got a problem. But as long as it's in the Bible, we don't have a problem. We just keep feasting upon what's in the Bible. He didn't come to bring us another Bible. See? All right. Then truly, if the Lord Jesus understood redemption, he would have to put it in the Word. Are you listening? See? Because he would have to bring the plan into the Word. See? And he did in Matthew 24.
Right.
See? All right? The opening of the seals. All right? You ever notice Brother Brown said serpent seed was revealed in the seals? You know what serpent seed was preached in 58? Right? Go check your dates. It's preached in 58. Brother Brown said it was revealed in the seals. He said marriage and divorce was revealed in the seals. He said the rapture was revealed in the seals. He said, thank God for the opening of these seals in the last days to understand these things. They might not have been revealed to him the day he preached the seals, but they were in the seals. See? I know I offended preachers in this message. I know it. But after I preached in 1983 on the seals and through that 82 and 83, I said, there ain't one of you guys added one word to what I've said. People don't like that. I didn't mean they hadn't preached greater things than I did. I just meant they hadn't added one word. I meant what I said and said what I meant. They hadn't added one word to it. Because in those seals is the complete plan of redemption. That's why I said, go read the titles of the sermons after the seal. They all go into eternal life. Did not the prophet say, after the opening of the seals, the Bible had become what? A brand new book. He didn't say a different book. He said a brand new book. I've heard people that hadn't even read the seal book, and they said, boy, bless God, since I come in this message, the Bible will become a brand new book. Still Trinitarian to the core. Sorry. It just, folks, it just gets on me. Why? That there's one message. Why there's so much split over one message? But there was one Lord Jesus, and it wound up being thousands of denominations. But anyhow. See, then if the Lord Jesus said it and put it in the Word, then he couldn't leave us with man's ideas. He had to send a prophet. There was no choice. It wasn't no problem. It wasn't no thoughts. You remember here a while back when I was preaching about there was a word for each age? The word for this age is God sent a prophet. He would be the only one who would have the divine revelation. All right. He's gone by the grave. Waiting on you and I.
Amen.
But he went to the grave with the full revelation of God's Word.
Amen.
He knew the plan of redemption. Why? He preached it to you and I. Because it's in the message. Right. See, then truly, as I wrote it this way, the prophet understanding the complete plan of redemption. The prophet understanding the complete plan of redemption. He would know how that Paul would be speaking of mortal coming to immortality, etc. Changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. He would know those scriptures. See? You couldn't say, well, Paul told us we'd change moment. One of these days we'd change moment pretty high because Paul told us. Amen. But he didn't tell us how. I remember reading in the Hebrews there and how that the prophet come along one day and he said, see there? And it sounds just exactly like. How did the prophet say it? He said, he's trying to get out of our minds that the Lord's coming right then. He said, Paul was trying to do that, trying to get it out of people's minds. Well, when I read it, I thought Paul was saying the Lord's coming next day.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you read, and that's what you thought. But Brother Brown said, he was trying to get it out of the mind of the people that God was coming right then. Said, they've got to be a falling away. And to be a falling away, you got to be somewhere before you can fall. And the people of this message are the only people that can do that kind of falling.
Right, amen. That's right. Amen.
We had to have an opportunity to believe it.
Right. Amen.
Then we can fall. Yeah. All right? Because you see, we believed that the world was going to be destroyed. Yeah. We believed that these bodies would be made, we'd get us a new body because these old bodies are going to be destroyed. And like I said to Brother Preacher, he said, we'll just walk out one of these days over in the millennium in a glorified body all over our own bodies, just stumbling around. Uh-oh, Brother Colley, I didn't mean to stump on you. I'll move over to where Wade's at. You say, silly. No, it ain't silly. That silliness is what you think. Let's see. Those are popular people. See? Because people don't want to hear the truth. I found that out a long time ago. People don't want to hear the truth. You tell me, people tell me, I've had two certain brothers I always mention. They got up one night in the minister's meeting, and both of them said, I want you to tell me like it is. I don't want you to soft soap it. Tell me like it is. I got up behind them. I said, you don't want me to tell you like it is. That's because you couldn't take it. And I meant them too. They couldn't take the truth. Because I tried to give it to them. And both of them turned against me for trying to bring the truth to them. Do you see? You say, tell me the truth, Brother Dale. That's a good way to lose people.
Yeah.
You know what? If I ever want to get rid of Brother Collie, I'll just go tell him the truth. You know why? Because if he ain't got the Holy Ghost, you know what he's going to do? He's going to leave. And if he's got the Holy Ghost, he's going to have problems. Right? Because I'd be the same way. Because the rest of my life, the devil would be telling me, what's he got against me? What's he got against me? What's he got against me? And I'd have to fight the whole thing. So the best thing to do is preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel. And we all pray that God will take care of our problems. Don't raise your hand and say, Brother Dale, come tell me the truth. Now you know better. You say, we're Christians. We can take it. We can? You say, you sure don't have much confidence in the Holy Ghost. I got a lot of confidence in the Holy Ghost. I just ain't got no confidence in me and you. Is that plain enough? I just don't have nothing in me and you. Sure, if you got the Holy Ghost, you'll line up, but it'd be hard. It'd be hard, because I've tried my best to tell you the truth. And I've lost friends because I tried to tell the truth. It's a good way to lose friends. If you want to, just go tell them the truth. Right? But now listen. So the prophet then would be given the plan of redemption, as the Lord Jesus had the plan of redemption. You agree? Because not, why don't you depend upon him as a prophet? Why don't you depend on your ideas? Because you know what your ideas was. You had him all messed up. See, that's the way I depend upon the prophet's message. I look at anything and I say, Lord, I thought I understood that. But now what is it that I don't understand? He said, well, go ask the prophet. And one day I wondered, I said, Lord, what is the new birth? He said, go ask the prophet. So I run it in the computer and it said, Brother Branham, what is the new birth, or what is the Holy Ghost? What is the new birth? That's in Christ the mystery of God revealed. He said, the revelation of Jesus Christ in a new birth, personally to you. You know what? I got the right answer. We was over in South Carolina and at a meeting, and there was a question asked, and Brother Collie may have to help me even remember the question, but there was a question asked. Yeah, what was the mark that was put on Cain? Well, these two well-known in the message. Okay. In the message that was with the prophet. Both of them said they didn't know what it was. Well, we start back down the road, and we're driving down the road, and Brother Collie looks over at me, and he said, you know what? I know what the mark was that was put on Cain. I said, you do? He said, yeah. It was unbelief. He said, I just heard the prophet say that's what it was. Well, you know, evidently them other two guys must not listen a lot, you know. And I hadn't listened enough to know what it was. So I'm not throwing off on them. I see, he said, yeah. So I know what it is. The brother Run said it was unbelief. It's okay. All right. See? Now get the point. God would deliver to the prophet only after the prophet had reached the position of the faith of the fathers himself and had brought the message of restoring the Bible back to where the apostles understood. Because remember, Now, I've preached this to you, right? That the Lord Jesus didn't tell the apostles everything. They didn't know about the seals and the things. They didn't know about Son of Man. Now, you show it to them in the Bible. You show it to them in Brother Brown's message where they understood. No, they didn't understand what the Lord Jesus said. He only opened their understanding as to what they could handle on the day of Pentecost. But knowing that he would come in the last days. Like I say about it when he said there in Matthew, what is it, 13:16 or 16:13, who the man say I the Son of Man am? Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He never asked him that. He asked who the Son of Man was. He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, Flesh and blood has not revealed that, but my Father, and on that revelation right there, I'll build my church. But see, he was going to come in the end time to explain who the Son of Man is. But you see, then we've got to go to the prophet's message. See? To get our understanding. It's not what I think. What I think is what I thought wrong. See? Right? You agree with that? We had a lot of thinking, but our thinking was all messed up. The prophet came and brought the message. Well, Brother Dale, I can show you 100 quotes where he says this and 100 quotes where he says that. Which one do you want? I want both of them because it'll tell me something one day when the Holy Ghost can reveal it. Or if you got 500 that says one thing and one that says something different to it. Hold on, God will reveal it to you one day if you're sincere of what he's really saying. And you don't have to change neither one. You just go right on down the road. Believing it. Because if he was the prophet of God, he had to be vindicated. That's why when he was preaching the White Horse Rider like it was, he had to be straightened out about it. And there was nobody in the world could straighten him out. He had the Larkins and all of the doctrines and the things. He had them, but that didn't straighten him out. Even Clarence Larkin taught that the White Horse Rider was the Antichrist. I believe it was Clarence Larkin, wouldn't it? That's the one I always quote. I knew I read it many years ago. Because he believed that the White Horse Rider was the Antichrist. That was way before Brother Branham. That didn't straighten Brother Branham out. It took God to come to that prophet and show him. See? All right? But now, listen. So then there won't be any difference. Now, watch. There won't be any difference. You can't have a doctrine of like one thing going this way and then you got to get something else to go this way and something else to go around that way. It won't work in the Bible. So whatever the doctrine is of the redemption of the soul will have to be applied to these bodies. And whatever redemption of these bodies are of the soul will have to be applied to the world. And that's why I've asked you over and over, please read the future home, because that's what he explained. He said, if I don't get nothing to you, I want to get you the plan of redemption. See? Now let's read a little bit, and we ain't going to get time to go through all of it. We'll take this up Wednesday and finish it, because we'll get a few of the notes anyway. Look at number 3 on your notes. Like I said, I started to print the whole book from page 14 to about 23, or even more, you know, of the future home, because I thought, well, a lot of people, maybe they'll read if I give it to them. But I decided not. They won't read if I give it to them. So there's no need in wasting the paper. Well, I already understood. I read that book 14 years ago. Well, try an update version, okay? And an update version don't change what the prophet said. The update version is in your mind. The updating of our minds to where we can understand. A growth development in Christ. We don't need a no updating of the Bible. We need updating of our human beings. So look what he said, number 3 on your note, which is page 14 of the Future Home, preached 1964, 802. And notice how God makes plain to us his plan of redemption. Oh, this just thrilled my soul when I saw it. Brother Branham. You've been preaching from 33 to 63, at least. He said, this just been revealed to me. It thrilled my soul when I saw it. Stature of a perfect man. He said, I had these things, but said, this come to me the other day when I was down in the woods and had a shouting glory hallelujah time. Oh. I think a lot of people believe that Brother Ram knew everything when he came. Well, that's not even Jesus didn't do that, because the Bible said he growed in grace and knowledge. See? But now listen. Notice how God makes plain to us his plan of redemption. Oh, this just thrilled my soul when I saw it. How he makes plain to us here now his plan of redemption. Now compare what we see with our own eyes that God has done to redeem his world. He's done the same plan to redeem his people. For the unchangeable God changes not any of his plans or anything. Such a glorious thing. So whatever the plan is for the soul, the plan is for the body. Whatever the plan is for the body is the plan for the world. Okay? Everybody understand that point? That'll hold it to where we can keep it going. Look. It goes on down. Because where you got the line going down your paper, it means a continuation of reading. Okay? Same page, 14. How he led us to himself to a tabernacle in us by three stages of grace. Just like he's led the world in three stages to come through the world. As God will come to the world after it's gone through three different stages of purification, that's exactly how he comes to us through the three stages of grace. I've taught that at the beginning. I've never changed it, changed since. It's God's word. You know, there's people in this message now said, Brother Brown changed the new birth. So now, Brother Brown said, it's just the Holy Ghost. Well, now, according to him there, he said that he hadn't changed. Well, you know what that, I tell these other people, they must be liars then. But now look, back in his early ministry, 1950, 110, on a Moses commission, Brother Brown says, that's in the plan of redemption. You are redeemed. And when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's the earnest of your salvation. Oh, is that right? In other words, it's a down payment. And if it'll make us feel like this on a down payment, what will it do when we get the full benefit of it? It'll be glorious, won't it? Well, then, do you believe that you'll raise again and have an immortal body? It's 1950. How many believes that? In the resurrection, and you'll raise and have an immortal body. Divine healing is the down payment or the earnest money of your immortal body. See what I mean? You got to have, it's the evidence that you'll have an immortal body when you see. Even back in the 50s, he would speak of an immortal body. But go back into early ministry and find him speaking a lot about the redemption of the world. He may talk about redemption for the body. He may talk about no divine healing, no resurrection. But when the seals opened to that prophet, he started talking about the plan of redemption for the world. Because he knew then, if we weren't going to get a new one, we're going to have to come out of the world. If it comes out of the world, then it's not going to be annihilated like we think. See, we think it's all going to be blown away. The Bible says, Brother Dale, that heaven and earth will pass away. Well, like I said, stuffed shirt theologian. Why didn't he look up, pass away? Peter said it. John said it on Patmos. Brother Brown says Daniel saw the same. Said Paul said the same. If you read the future home. But here's them stuffed shirts that knows all about what them big words mean. But a prophet had to get in a dictionary and look it up and see how to find a word and then learn how to spell it. It's on down in your notes. He had to even spell the big old word. See? Well, pass away, just mean pass away. Well, and I'm not meaning this wrong, I mean it in the right form. Brother Tom, here the other day, passed away. Right? But did that annihilate his body? No. We can go down and dig it up. It's in a coffin waiting. Right? Did he pass away as a person on the fact of a soul or anything? No. Because we can show that it's beyond the curtain of time. So we need to change our thinking. Now, cat may be cat in English language or human terms. But when you come to biblical form, sometimes you got to find out some other things to understand. It don't always mean what we think. See, we're so smart until we don't realize it. All right? So then we start into the future home on page 13. And what did he say, number 5 on your note? It's only the atmospheres around it and the sin that's upon the earth that will be destroyed. Okay? I was trying to find the other one where I could get on down to it. But we just slowly go down. If you don't believe that that's what the prophet said, then you listen to the next message. Let's see if I can find it. Where he used a big old word. Spelled it out. Number 7? Or 17. Okay. I'm glad I put numbers on there where you can keep up with it. Yep. Number 17, he covers it, and that's page 27 of the future home. He covers the big word and spells it P-A-R-E-R-E-C-H-O-M-I-A, which does not mean annihilated. It means to change from one form to another. Right. You know that when you receive the new birth, according to Paul in Corinthians, you become a what? New creature. A new creation. Did you pass away? You know, did you just annihilate it? You went down to the altar, you know, and you got down praying, and you just disappeared. You received the Holy Ghost, and just, bam, you're gone. Because that's the same word. Brother Branham gives it to you, and if you read it, where Jesus said, loose the colt and tell him to bring it. He said, it's the same word. Right. He said, when Lazarus was dead, if you read the future home, you've heard that when Lazarus was there in the grave, it said, loose him and bring him out and take the grave clothes off of him. Loose him. See? But you see, we've all thought that everything would be annihilated. See? We don't know what kind of thing is going to take place or what's going to be, but this whole thing just annihilated. It's destroyed. No, the prophet said, only the atmospheres around it and the sin that's upon the earth will be destroyed. All right? Now, you're going to have to Wednesday for to read the future home. So if you hadn't read it, that'll give you an opportunity to either read or listen to the tape. Because these bodies are not going to be destroyed. You can burn me up, but I'll turn back to gases. And gases is where I came from in the beginning. Yeah. All right. See, we believe in redemption. The soul wasn't destroyed by the new birth. It was just washed, justified, cleansed, sanctified, and got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire to burn out anything that was left in us where the Holy Ghost could come and live in us. And that's the new birth. See? Brother Brown said it wasn't your soul that died. He said it was the nature of your soul. Not your soul. The new birth. The plan of redemption. Same for body, same for soul, same for world. All right? See? Let's read a couple right here before we finish. Just get it. Future homes, page number 6, which is still on page 13. He says, and all this exists in the heavens or atmospheres in the earth, which is now. This earth holds those things, but it wasn't made for that purpose. You know, they've traveled to the moon. See, as far as man goes, it's got to be cleaned one day. As far down as we go, and there's wells that are thousands of feet deep, and as far as man goes that way, it's got to be cleansed. He said, well, how can that be? That'd mean the world wouldn't be no bigger than a basketball. You just remember when the flood took place, it sure shifted this stuff around. But just remember, over in the book of Revelations, you don't have to worry about it. Now, it's not going to do away with the water, but it's going to do away with the sea, because there's no more sea. Because water is H2O. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. The greatest explosive situation that can be. That's why they were afraid to set off the first, or split the first atom, because they were afraid it would start a chain reaction. And probably if they hit it correctly, according to science, they did not split the atom at perfectly dead center. They missed it just a little. Probably if they'd have hit it dead center, it would have blowed the whole world. You see, they only got what God wanted them to have.
Right.
Right. So what did he say? And all our bodies that we live in now was put on the earth when God created it, because you're out of the dust of the earth. The plan of redemption. Let's get the next one and then we'll quit. It refers to three stages of the earth. Peter said this. It refers to the present world we live in now. Called it a world. The old world that stood out of the water, and the world that is to come. Three stages. We'll pick up right there Wednesday, Lord willing. But you go home and you think about it. This world, it already went through justification and sanctification. And just remember, our bodies were in the world when Noah and the flood. Our bodies were in the world when Jesus' blood dropped on it. So we're already in the process, because when God gave you the Holy Ghost, and you're not going to get you a new body, right? If you believe that by now, that it's settled that you ain't going to get a new body, then take this point. When God put the baptism of the Holy Ghost in you, he cleansed and claimed that body you're living in. You're not going to get another one. He laid claim on it right there. You say, yeah, but look how bad it is. Look what we used to be. Look what the world used to be. But what about the plan of redemption? You might ought to consider some things and think about it, see? That we need to know the plan of redemption. We need to know it for the body. We need to know it for the world. We need to know it for all these things. The prophet said the atmosphere, in other words, wherever man has been to pollute it, is going to have to be cleansed. As deep as he's went, in it's going to have to be cleansed. Because he's laid it on there and made a mark out of it. And you see, if we don't believe in a worldly redemption, why wouldn't Jesus accept what Satan said in his temptation? He said all of these things, and Brother Branham said he showed him all Russia and all. Said he even showed him the United States. That's what he said. Satan showed it to the Lord Jesus. And said, I'll give it to you. Jesus said, won't do it. You've got to pay the price. Same thing as Abraham. When Abraham was coming down through there and his wife died, he said, I need a place to bury my wife. Man was real nice to him. He said, I'll give it to you. He said, no. Now, boy, that's a slap in the face, ain't it? A man offers you a burial plot. You turn around and say, they ain't going to do it. I'm going to pay for it. Well, why are you wanting to be so stubborn? Abraham said, I want to pay for it. See, he didn't know what he was doing. But the Lord Jesus knew what he was doing when he said, Satan, I'm going to buy it. Because Brother Brown said he knew that Satan would have an earmark on the world. He could still deal with you and control you if he had an earmark on you. He said, well, sin has. No, I thought we were supposed to be dead. Can't be earmarked. Jesus paid the price. Abraham bought the burial plot. Wouldn't let him give it to him. Type in Christ to come to Calvary to die for you and I. He didn't have to do that. And if we're going to get a new body, why did he have to worry about getting beat up and killed in this kind of a body? Come on. All he had to do was just back up to heaven and say, come on, y'all follow me. Right? No, he had to go through all that horrible thing because there was going to be a redemption of the body. Let's stand. Come on, brother. Think on these things. Think on these things. The same plan for the world is the same plan for the body. The same plan for the body is the same plan for the soul. The plan of redemption. What do you think about it? Jesus said, I am the resurrection. He said, he that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Somebody's not going to have to die. Because Jesus said it. Paul said it. Jesus said it. Brother Branham said it. That's enough to be three witnesses, right? Think on these things. What we got?
Let's run number 60.
61 in the red book. Anybody have a need? See, I believe in divine healing.
Yeah. I'm nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the Son.
Is that your dependence? On this word. You remember what the old brother said? I'd rather be standing on the word, standing in heaven. He said, because the Bible said heaven and earth would pass away. He said, the word won't. Read the future home. If you don't have one, let us know. I've got one in my office. I'll loan it to you. As long as you make sure you get it back to me. I give away a lot of books and didn't get them back. So I started writing my name on it and said, now you make sure and give that back to me. Because I love those books. A lot of the quotes I've used in the recent messages, you know where I got them? I couldn't remember the exact quote off the computer. I couldn't find it. But you know what I can do? I can reach up in my rack and get that book. And that old memory's still there that Brother Randall said that. Christ the mystery. There it is. Because see, I tried to run it in the computer with the wrong words. It wasn't coming up. I still use my books. I still have them. I still love to read. But you see, I believe this word. This word is what's going to change us. Your change is inside of you by the new birth. This rock I stand, all other ground is. Anybody have a need? See, I believe it to be Hebrews 13:8. If he ever healed, you believe it, he'll heal you. If he ever saved, you believe it, he'll save you. I like what Brother Maloney, I saw in his Bible one time, I told you, and looked through his Bible one day and it had TP out at the end of the scripture. And I turned around and I'd look and it'd have TP. And I said, Brother Maloney, what does this TP mean? He said, tried and proven. See? Tried and proven. It's a good thing to put there. You believe it? Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. You love him? I love you, adore you, bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Sing it unto him. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Is he? Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. You lead me, you guide me, you're dwelling inside me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Do you believe it? You believe he's real? If you don't, come and let me talk to you about him. He's real. He ain't the thoughts of your mind. He's real. You just think what he's done with this Bible. You know what? If I die and go to hell, I want him to let me have the Bible. Because ever how long I burn, I still want to read. He said, that's silly. Well, it may be, but I believe this word to be true. I've never found it to be anything but true. I never found anything that the prophet said that didn't fit in this Bible. Now, I admit I had to wait a lot of times to be able to understand it. But I've never found him outside of this word. 40-something years of studying one message. Good, what is it? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, right? That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new. What has he made us? We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son, right? We are the people of his kingdom. We are family. We are one. Just sing that to one another as you're leaving. Ain't God good? Remember the services Wednesday. Remember this weekend now. Brother Reed coming over and being with us. Pray the Lord would give him a safe trip. Give us a good time to celebrate 40 years. That we've had. Father, just bless the people on the way home. Give everybody a safe journey. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Forgive our sins.